Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Kaiju Kingdom Podcast. I am your host, Chris Eaton. And today, ladies and gentlemen, we got a special guest host. And it's my common Kaiser brother in arm. Sir, introduce yourself.
What's up, guys? It's Eddie. How you been, Chris?
I have been good. Went to my first real Kaiju show out here in Dallas this weekend.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say rodeo. I was like,
Yeah. No, I've not done a rodeo yet. I have seen the steers down in Fort Worth, but I have not done a proper rodeo. No, I did. Yeah, I know.
That says this is my first rodeo.
I'm 41. It should be my first rodeo, but it would be.
Oh my goodness.
There's a lot of things to be unpacked there. But no.
So you went to a show.
I went to a show called Kaiju Go out here in Dallas. That's it was fantastic. It's probably the most unique show I've ever attended. It's like a weird hybrid of screenings and like a convention, if that makes any sense. So they hold it in a theater, the Texas Theater out here in downtown Dallas, and they took over an art gallery next door. So you go in, get your badge. The theater is an old theater. It's a one screen. It's got like three stories to it. And on every level, they have like vendors, and they brought out people from like Japan. There's a lot of Sofubi stuff there, like a ton, like the most I've seen outside of either G-Fest or walking through like Mandarake. And it was a very cool vibe considering that it was 104 freaking degrees out here. So yeah, no, I can see Ari, for those who can't see at home, Arion has a look of disgust because he lives in San Diego. And, the weather's always nice there. So,
I mean, we're both from Southern California. I mean, it's 104. That's like maybe once a year, maybe.
Yeah. Unless you're out in the desert. It was 100. It hit 107 today. 107. And not only that, but like it wasn't as muggy as it was just blaring. So yeah, like I sit in my car just cooking. Terrible.
A lot of our listeners are Southern California, just from the West Coast. Can you describe the weather to a city in California? Or Southwestern?
Of what it's like out here?
Yeah.
Think of going out to Lancaster in the middle of August. That's the best way.
If you have something to do in Lancaster in the middle of August, great, but...
No one has anything to do in Lancaster in the middle of August. You're out there because...
That's like going to, like, let's go to Fontana for what?
Yeah, exactly. Good old Fontucky. Yeah, now, if you're in Lancaster, it's the joke from Pulp Fiction. You lost your L.A. privileges. So, that's the only reason you're out in Lancaster. That and other reasons, but this is a little more family-friendly show. Can't talk about that. Anyway, but yeah, Kaiju Go, fantastic local show. Sold out.
Time out. You said three stories. Are you talking about like balcony, like Muppets balcony, or what are we talking
about? Yeah.
Really?
Yes. This is an old theater. And not mezzanine, the all that? Yeah, there's a mezzanine and a balcony. The seats are somewhat upgraded, so they're not like... The seats, that theater's apparently like 50, 60 years old at this point. But it's gorgeous. The people that run it now it's a little bit of a hipstery theater. So when you walk in, there's all these kind of recreations of like classic, like sci-fi posters, but they're done in Spanish. So there's like Invaders from Mars, but like however you would like translate that to Spanish.
Right.
So there's that. They have a full working bar. There's a very cool like area in the lobby where they have a bunch of like VHS tapes, and they're just running off these old CT like TVs. So they're just running little movies and stuff. It's an insane vibe. And then you just walk out, you walk next door. There's a gallery next door, and they took over one space where they put vendors and artists there. Attack Peter was there. Tom Whalen was there. Matt Frank was there. So they got some names. And
nice. It
just a wall of figures. And so, Fubi, you go inside the main theater. So the top level had people doing, like, their custom, like, Sofubi stuff. There were other vendors. There's a vendor out here that runs a store called Leviathan that's awesome. It's above an antique mall, but you go in there, it's wall-to-wall horror and sci-fi and, like, vintage, like, cool, nerdy stuff. And they have the Godzilla room. It's just this cool little closet of just Godzilla merchandise and other kaiju stuff. So VHSs, laser discs, figurines, all that cool stuff. And they brought things out. So I would say there's probably about like 20 or 30 vendors sold out. They showed Super Inframan, the full, well, in my opinion, a nice version, because I saw it the new Bev years ago that was beat to hell. But it was the sub version. And then they did panels in between. So on stage, in front of this big screen, they had various guests come up. They did like two or three panels. And then towards the end of the night, they showed Invasion of the Astral Monsters and Return of Godzilla. Pristine copies, too. Thank you, Janus Films. And yeah, I would say maybe about like 400 or 500 people that showed up to this thing. It's amazing. But that's not all that happened this weekend. It's that there's a reason why we're doing this show tonight, and that is because, Aryan, what returned to theaters this past weekend?
Yeah. Shin Godzilla.
Yes. For the first time in... came back. First time nearly in a decade. So, yes, Shin Godzilla returned to the big screens. That was the big push at Comic-Con. Oh, well.
Hold on. ABC.
Yeah. ABC.
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 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Okay, we're good. I don't know why
I'm lagging. Yeah. So, the Comic-Con debacle of everyone thinking that they flew Shinji Higuchi out for the announcement of Shin 2 turned out to be, he's just out here promoting the 4K.
They're not going to announce anything until, they're not going to come.
No, they're not going to do anything until after this next.
Until at least Godzilla Day, right? Can we agree?
They're going to wait. They're going to, it'll be 2026 if we hear anything on this potential new movie. So they're not going to get ahead and like, hey, like, you got this, you know, we got the sequel to Minus One coming out. Like, then after that, there's this thing. Like, they're not going to do that. That's not how they roll. This isn't Hollywood. They're not getting ahead of themselves. But yes, Higuchi came out to promote G-Kids' release of Shin Godzilla. Not just any release, it's a 4K upgrade.
Okay. Buddy. Buddy, this is... If this comes out and it's still in theaters, you need to go watch it
again
if you haven't seen it already. This is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful print. Not print, but remaster.
Oh.
But we'll get into that in a second.
Yeah. And that's pretty much what we're breaking down. We're not reviewing the movie here, people. Aryan said before, we jumped on. He's like, are we reviewing this? I'm like, come on, man. Like, you know, and I know, like, everyone's listening to the show has seen it already. So, but turns out there were quite a few people that I found out from online, and even my own buddy that I took with me, who have never seen this film. And I chalked that up to the fact that Funimation let this thing lapse, like, in their rights of it and physical media portion of it years ago. So, I mean, you got to remember, this movie's nearly 10 years old at this point. It came out in July of 2016. So we got it October 2016. And then I think the DVD or the Blu-ray was maybe like 6 months after that. And then they had one done and then that was it. So I was there for the original showing. I'm assuming you were there for the original showing.
Of course.
Yes. So the big thing we're going to discuss is the look of this new transfer, because as you just said, masterful. My God, this thing looked spectacular. Even better than the original.
When was the last time you saw it?
Physically sat down and watched it. It's been, it was during, it was definitely during the lockdown, because I went through and powered through like all the movies that they were out up to that point. I think right before Godzilla versus Kong, actually, was the last time I sat down and watched it. And like many, I had the Blu-ray from Funimation, which for a company that was putting out like anime, that Blu-ray, it was fine, but it felt like this is the thing with this movie. When I saw it twice on its initial wonky release schedule. I don't think many people remember, like, it was supposed to be like a Fathom event. Remember when Fathom events were like a big thing?
Yeah.
Like you had one night during the week, you better go and watch this movie because that's the only time we're going to show it. Because back then movies were much more popular. So finding space to put a foreign film, especially an anime film, out was, you know, there was scarce territory. Now they're, you know, a normal release. I think Demon Slayer just came out a couple of weeks ago. Did, you know, banging numbers. And that's exactly what happened here with Shin Godzilla. Like, this is the first, like, this got a proper wide release, where the first one was like a Tuesday night, a Thursday night, and I think it was that Friday and Saturday. No, it was Friday and Sunday. And then because it was popular, they added four more showings. That was the release schedule of its original run. So weird, like, right? Very weird.
But this was a time before Godzilla vs. Kong, before, I want to say this is, you can say that 2014 was the resurgence of Godzilla.
Yeah.
But it wasn't ironically until, I'm going to say, Godzilla vs. Kong that it really took off. So maybe there wasn't that much, I don't want to say, faith in it, which is crazy to say right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, the film has a pedigree, but it's a pedigree that only matters to film buffs and anime nerds. It's, you know, Anno and Higuchi. Like, that's not, at the time, that wasn't a sell point to a lot of people. Unless you're, like, a big Evangelion fan, which there are many of, but there are a lot more today. So, it did well. I mean, it did well for what it was back in 2016. But you're correct. Like, the popularity of Godzilla was starting to kind of, it was going uphill. The success of that first Legendary movie basically is what gave Shin Godzilla, like Funimation, the confidence to actually put it out in theaters for some kind of run versus just shoving it straight to DVD. And before that, like, ironically, as we record this, this is the 20th anniversary of the U.S. release of Godzilla 2000, which was the last Japanese film released in American theaters before Shin. So, the confidence in releasing Japanese Godzilla movies was not exactly high. Now it's a very, very different landscape, and it's mostly due to the popularity of two things, the MonsterVerse and Minus One. Minus One got all the flowers, got all the kudos, but there's a lot of people that went, well, we don't get a Minus One if we didn't get Shin, because Shin did all the money in Japan. Like, it made a lot of money. That movie, I think there's a lot of people that don't understand how big Shin Godzilla was in Japan. I believe domestically it made like $80 million, which is like insane for a Godzilla movie.
Did Minus One make more, or did Shin make more in Japan?
Domestically or world or total?
In Japan. No, in Japan.
In Japan, Shin made more in Japan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe. Yeah. Yeah, Minus One's domestic was like 50 million. And it made more internationally. Like, it made 56, like, out here. So, total, it's like 100 and... I think worldwide, that you know, in all the other countries, it made like 116 million. But, again, very different release. You know, Toho actually handled that release versus Funimation putting out here. But, domestically, yeah, that the summer of 2016, Toho had two films. They had Shin Godzilla and Your Name, and they just dominated the box office. Right. Like, they just printing money. Like, Your Name, I think, was like the number one movie in Japan for like almost 5 months. And the only time it got knocked out was when Shin Godzilla came around. So, and that's the thing, because this movie, Shin Godzilla, is a very Japanese, I use the term Japanese heavy film. Like, it just resonates more with that crowd, because it's the allegory of the 311 earthquake and the Fukushima disaster. Yeah. So there was a little more going on there. And plus, it's Anno. Like, Anno wrote like the, what I call like the, the Mormon book of anime Bible out there with Evangelion. Like, that, you know, for those who have never been to Japan, I don't know if you know this, Evangelion is huge out there. So yes. So the long-winded way of going around of this movie has a following, but this is the first time where a lot of people are seeing it post Minus One and post MonsterVerse. So, and Aryan, I would say for those people, they got the better deal than you and I got when we sat down and watched it. Would you not agree?
Yeah, because this time there, you had a chance to watch in 4DX, and, and you didn't. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see in 4DX, did you?
No, there's none of the theaters around here were playing in 4DX.
Yeah, you got to see it on a weekend. There was, you knew about it coming out. There wasn't a whole lot of marketing for it, but I feel like if you are like us and you are in the know, or if you're a casual fan, you knew that this movie was coming out.
I mean, they had posters. They actually aired some trailers. My buddy George out in California like texted me. He came out of F1. He's like, is there a new Godzilla movie coming out? I'm like, no, not a new one. He's like, I saw this trailer. I'm like, oh, it's probably for the Shin re-release. He's like, wait, when did that? I'm like, it came out like 10 years ago. He's like, why am I just seeing it now? I'm like, because they're putting it back out and it's got more eyes. So
let's talk. My understanding is that they released this because there's going to be a 4K home release, right?
There is, and they already announced that there's actually two versions coming out so far that have been announced. Walmart has a steelbook that
they still make steelbooks, huh?
They still make steelbooks; those things sell. But there will be a big 4-disc 4K box set that is not too far off of the version that came out in Japan last year or the year before. I think it came out right before Minus One came out, because Anno and Higuchi did the orthochromatic version, which is basically Shin Godzilla in black and white. So this 4K box set that Friday of release, Toho announced, like, okay, October, for all those who went and saw it this weekend, now you can own it once again in a proper home video release, unlike Funimation's, which was pretty bare bones. This one has the 4K, a Blu-ray, the black and white version, and a disc that is just racked with extras. So they're going the route that they did with the minus one Godzilla Store exclusive box set. Except it looks like this time they're subbing all of the bonus content, which I know for a lot of people that was a sticking point because they just kind of hastily put out that four disc box set and people were like, I can't watch any of the extras because I don't speak the language. So that's why I went with my steelbook. Ironically, that's what I got. So the movie itself, the look, the feel, comparing to the initial release, Aryan, has this movie ever looked cleaner to you?
It looks wonderful. It looks like it came out yesterday because, I mean, it was already a good-looking movie, but now it just looks even better. I think the only giveaway is someone had an iPhone 5 or something in the movie. You're like, that's weird. But it looks clean. It looks wonderful.
There's a point I could have swore they I was watching the initial, so I'm sitting with my buddy, I'm watching the initial attack on like when Godzilla evolves for the first time.
Yeah.
So the thing that always bugged me on the home video and even in the theater was that when he evolved, like the effects looked a little blurry for some reason, like the evolution inside of him. And I'm sitting there watching this. I'm like, did they actually clean, like, did they sharpen the effects? I mean, I know the 4K is adding a little more, but like, it felt like they actually went in and tweaked those. But the thing is, I think it's just the clarity of the picture that you can see the detailing in a lot of this stuff now. And that's where it really stood out to me.
Yeah, I don't know if they went in and added anything, but it definitely looks a lot better. I mean, 4K, what is it, 1080p or 1080i, and then you have 4K.
Yeah.
What's the exact resolution?
Blanking, because it's 1245 by the time right now.
Yeah, so some people say, like, you can't really tell the difference between 720 and 1080. Well, but compare a 720 Blu-ray to, or a 1080 Blu-ray to this 4K. I mean, it is, I don't want to say it's night and day, but it looks clean.
Yeah.
I can't stress that enough. It looks good. It looks, if you've seen this movie, it really is worth it to go watch it again because it looks great.
The night attack sequence.
Oh my God.
Popped.
Oh, that was wonderful. It always looked like, don't take this the wrong way. It always looked like a Heisei night scene, like a Heisei promotional. And now in 4K, the mist, like I never noticed that he had a mist when he closes his mouth that comes off.
Yeah.
Like the sheen, like the texture on his scales. It looks, that whole, I'm gushing over this movie.
But yeah, these were the things that were like just capturing my imagination watching this. I'm like, I've seen this movie like a dozen times and I never noticed how good it looked, like, you know, the details.
Also, the title, everyone's titles, I believe are properly subtitled now. That makes a world of a difference.
Yes, let's talk about that. The fixed subs on this film.
Yeah.
The fixed subs, because this is something that Funimation did not do. They did not sub the exposition subs, as I call them.
The titles,
like everyone's title, because there's...
Is whatever...
Yes.
Committee.
Yes, because there's 1,500 characters in this movie, because it's a movie about government bureaucracy. So you have like department upon department, people within those departments. Now you got a chance to actually like, because that was the problem with that original version was they didn't give the names on top of those things. So you only got the characters' names when they were talking to each other. And that wasn't like all the time. So it was like, wait, what's this character's name? Like, I didn't realize Shinya Tsukamoto's name until this movie. Because when he pops up, then they had like, oh, here's his, I'm like, oh, that's his character's name. Okay. It's stuff like that that was making a huge difference. The translations were also greatly improved. I mean, it's G Kids, so they, I mean, they handle all Miyazaki stuff domestically. They put out quite a few things. So there was some real love and care, and this is a talky film. So the dialogue, I mean, the dialogue's firing at a rapid pace, but at least this time, you know, I am, go ahead.
I watched this movie with a couple of people who've never seen Shin Godzilla before.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the dialogue rolls, the way it goes, and I mean, if English is not your first language, then you can see how it'll be a, you know,
mm-hmm.
a challenge. But just the way it rolls and the way you're reading, how quickly you read through all this, it reminds me, I don't know if it's an auto thing or the way it was edited or just the way the subtitles ran, kind of reminded me of like a subtitled Nolan movie. I don't know if you got that.
So my buddy that I took, never seen this film. So his kid's super into dinosaurs. So I've been showing him Godzilla movies. So they've watched all the MonsterVerse stuff. And about 20 minutes into this, he leans over and he's like, is this film about government bureaucracy? I'm like, yeah. And he's Filipino and he works in a similar field. He's like, oh, I'm deep into this now. I'm like, yeah. just the mundaneness of it all just got him excited. But I asked him afterwards, I'm like, did you have problems keeping up? You know, English is, he's got no problem with English, but he turned to me and he's like, this feels like if Aaron Sorkin wrote a Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's like, just fast paced, fast cut, and it's a lot of like hallways, boardrooms, and a lot of talking heads. But he's like, the way it's shot makes it so dynamic.
My favorite shot is the random like close up of the fist going yes, like that's such a
that's
such an auto thing.
Very much. You know what? I was having a discussion with another friend about this with animators because we were watching Gundam Hathaway. And there's a shot in there. It's two characters talking. It's just an exposition dump. But the way that they frame the scene, because it's like, well, we can just have them sitting there talking and this scene be boring. But instead, because they're animators, they can control the camera. The girl that's talking, they're shooting from her perspective and she's sitting there playing with a pen. She's doing this and you're just seeing from her perspective while she's exposition dumping. And this is something I noticed with a lot of like very good anime, and Anno's one of them. Like, he does busy work with a lot of this stuff, like in his animation. Like he makes sure that the scene never looks dull, even if like we're just unloading a lot of information to you. And I think that's the only way he knows how to make a movie. So he took all that stuff that he does in animation and just translated it to live action, because there's a lot of people doing things.
Yeah.
Like they're in the background eating noodles. They're just, you know, it's little, you know, set dressings like that. It works. It's so good. Not only that, but like I forgot about the shots where the camera's behind the computer screen.
Oh, right. Where they freak out and like, oh my God.
Yes. Like yeah. Stuff like that. It's wildly creative. And again, on this, looks clean as hell. But the beauty is those subs really give you a better understanding of like what they're hammering down of like, oh, okay. Like just the translation of Godzilla's biology made a lot more sense than the Funimation dub or sub.
Yeah.
There is a dub, and that dub is terrible, by the way.
I've never watched it with a dub, but when we say the subtitles are better and they clarify things, like they still don't talk about Goromaki. Like you don't get any extra information out of him.
No.
But you understand what he did and what he left.
Mm-hmm.
You're not like, okay, clearly the guy, Avengers Endgame himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you do get, there's, the translation's a little more clear on his.
Yes, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, and into his descent into madness and the opening of that film. So he's the character that's a pivotal character that never shows up in the movie whatsoever. Again, another brilliant like piece. So and I know it's just the way that this film is, but, and this is something I saw with a lot of people. They're like, I read at like a fifth grade level. I miss like half the stuff that's going on. People were complaining. It's like, why wasn't this dubbed? I'm like, they probably didn't have it ready. They, G Kids did announce that there will be a dub on that 4K, box set. And when it eventually comes to HBO Max, whenever that is, because everyone thought it was going to be in September, and they're like, no, it's a little more down the line. Because I'm like, well, yeah, you want to sell a DVD. You're not going to put it up for next to nothing on a streamer. But when you have characters talking that fast in a language that's not English, like, that's a rough challenge to try to match that. Matching the tone, the inflection of everybody in this. I mean, there's a few moments of English in this, and they're kind of laughable because it's clear that English is not these people's tongue at all. Like, they're just saying everything phonetically.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. They probably learned their lines, you know, phonetically.
I
don't think there was an English coach on set.
No, there's the ambassador who we never see. We just get the Inspector Gadget claw moment where we just see his hand. And that's when they're on the plane, and like, that's the only dude you're like, oh, you're just some American living out there. And they're like, we need an older dude to come in and just recite some dialogue. We're not going to show you, but at least like, this is a dude who speaks English. Like, that is his native tongue. So that's the only time it sounded remotely, I guess, delicate on the ears. So
I didn't know, like, there was parts of that, like, I didn't know that that guy had an appointment with the PM or with, what's the guy's name? Government man.
Oh,
the guy who shows up in all the Shin movies.
Again, we weren't going deep into this film, so I didn't mark down character names. Yeah.
There's more of that I picked up this time. And I was like, oh, okay. That kind of makes sense. And that's all because of subtitles.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So. The intentions of the U.S. just taking control with UN to bomb the crap out of Godzilla with a nuke in the middle of Tokyo. Like that middle part of that movie is just intense dialogue.
Yeah.
And that's where that original Funimation sub just loses a lot of people. Like, you have to sit there and really watch that movie over and over to kind of piece together what they're saying. Like, it's not like they didn't translate it, but they just didn't do a great job at translating it. Where this time around, like, a lot of things came through much more clear and concise.
Yes.
The soundtrack.
Yeah.
Talk about, you know, the picture looked great, but my God. I believe they remastered this thing, and it just sounded spectacular coming out of those giant screens.
Look, you know it's coming. You know Persecution for the you know it's coming. You know all these songs, you know, it's like the greatest hits of you got Battle in Outer Space. You're like, you know the train scene, you know it's gonna, you're like, you know it's coming. What else? Wonderful.
Look, my buddy looked at me like the second they launched the
unmanned train bombs.
Yeah,
what's it called? I know the track's called Black Angels on the soundtrack. When they're getting ready to bomb, yeah, boom, 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 and you're like, let's go, like,
yes. That and the use of decisive battle for all of the
strategic planning scenes.
Yes. It's the
Ava fight song, right? That's and they're like, if you've seen Evangelion, you know, you'll know what we're talking about. But anytime that they're planning anything, you're boom, 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 boom.
And it's the exposition of it used for, like, just a meeting room is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
Open up a plan. Open up a... We're going to fold this thing into origami.
It's and then it's all put together to shots of papers moving around, printers being wheeled in, chairs being pushed in. Like, just, it's...
Love
that. Anno Higuchi love really that. Made monotony of bureaucracy look thrilling. And that is something that yes, it's interesting. And I found, because again, after, you know, the next day I went online, you know, posted like, hey, everyone should go see this. It looks amazing. Like, this is probably the best this movie's ever looked. Probably even better than its initial theatrical release. But I started getting replies like, you know, this is my first time watching it. Like, what is this movie? Like, it's a Godzilla movie. They're like, this isn't like a Godzilla movie I've ever seen. I'm like, well, no, but neither is Minus One. Minus One isn't really like a Godzilla movie anyone's ever seen either. But I noticed people were like, I wasn't expecting a movie about red tape, government red tape. Like, I was expecting going in to like see Godzilla, like, you know, destroy stuff. And as I pointed out, I'm like, you get that, but felt like this, again, because it's a very Japanese film, this is the thing that was lost on, like, a lot of what I'm calling new fans who, A, were probably too young to see this when it came out, or B, they got in because of the MonsterVerse or because of Minus One and didn't realize this movie exists. So they're like, hey, it's middle of August, there ain't nothing, let's go watch this. And kind of being perplexed by why would you do a Godzilla movie like this? And, you know, subtext is, you know, lost on a lot of people, I've realized, in films today. There's a lot of people that look too deep into some things, and when the subtext is being beaten over the head, they still don't get it. But that is the average American going, average movie going audience in America now.
I'm really glad that you brought up that for a lot of people, this is their first time watching it, because there's always going to be someone who misses out. And I'm really glad that, I mean, we were lucky enough to see it in a theater, and I'm really happy that there's a whole new generation, I guess, post Minus One, who got to see it in the theater. That's really cool. Good on G-Kids or Toho, whoever.
Well, it's one in the same now. They own them.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they bought them last year.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah.
You know, good on them to release a 9-year-old movie. And have the, you know, the balls to release a 9-year-old movie. A 9-year-old, yeah.
Yeah. Movie. Well, again, they made all the money. Toho made all the money back in, you know, the winter of 2023 by releasing this themselves. I mean, they did have the, excuse me.
Bless you.
They had the good fortune, ironically, of a writer and actor and actor strike going on. So there's nothing else out there, but the momentum of the MonsterVerse got a lot of people who are like, it's the weekend after Thanksgiving, like, let's go to the movies. And hey, there's a Godzilla movie there. And you walk in expecting, and I know a lot of people I know who normally wouldn't go see a Japanese Godzilla movie. They thought it was another American Godzilla movie. But then they walked out going, that was far better than I ever expected a Godzilla movie to be. I'm like, yeah, because you saw a guy that loves Steven Spielberg make a very Steven Spielbergian Godzilla movie, where I think people who had never, you know, who know that or the MonsterVerse, were walking into this and they're just like, so wait, like, Washington knew, like, all along, like, it was a political thriller, but it just happens to have a giant super evolving monster that shoots rays out of its spines and blows up B-2 bombers with it.
I love that. I love that genre of movie where it's like, yeah, it's a, you know, it's a family movie, or it's a, it's one movie, but it also has dinosaurs in it. It's like, mm-hmm. man, it's like, yeah, I love this, you know, this political drama of geo, whatever.
But geopolitical.
Yeah.
Geopolitical nonsense.
Like, yes.
Like, well, I mean, look. Plus... I mean, Arian, you're a big horror fan.
Huge.
So, I mean, would you say that the current crop of, like, horror films that are being put out, maybe in the last, like, 5 to 6 years, have been leaning a little more on the, let's just say, artsy side?
I agree. Mainstream movies, yes.
Yeah. Like, Weapons, that's out, that just came out. I've yet to see it, but everyone I've talked to, they're like, oh, it's great. And my problem is that I'm like, is it great because it's a good horror movie, or is it great because you're loving it because it might be a smart movie that's masquerading as a horror movie?
I'm going to lean with a second. I think a lot of movies are smart movies. A lot of good movies are smart mm-hmm. movies with this cool element that, you weren't expecting, like this new movie coming out called Good Boy. I cannot wait to see it. I can't.
The dog that can see ghosts. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever it is, it's mm-hmm. like you put two things: you put scary movie, mm-hmm. and you put a dog. I'm in.
Yeah.
And of course, I had to look up does a dog die .com. I had to look it up.
I mean, okay, we're good. You and Jessica both.
I think I knew about the website because of Jessica. It's kind of a big deal for me.
Yeah, that's all she cares about. Like, does the dog die? I'm like, I don't know. She was traumatized by John Wick the first time she saw it. I'm like, they kind of told you in the trailer. That's why he's on the murder spree. Because they killed his dog. They kind of tell you. She's like, I didn't see any of the trailers. I'm like, well... Would you do what he did? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. So, but yeah, I mean, I think we've reached a weird cross section in the fact that we have so much Godzilla that now we're, you know, like, well, how do we mix it up this time? Like, all right, let's start mixing genres. And, I always questioned.
But we also have... You know, your two, you know, you have got your Godzilla toy versus your other Godzilla toy, and you bash them together. And that's between mm-hmm. Godzilla and Kong, mm-hmm. New Empire. So you can have the Minus One and the Shin, but you can also have Godzilla and Kong versus another monkey and,
an ice dinosaur?
Yeah, and an ice dinosaur. There's room for everything in the genre, especially with Godzilla.
I mean, yes. Thank you. There's... This is something that drives me nuts about fandoms that you only should have the one thing. I'm like, guys, like, this is a movie series that's 70 years old. There was a point where Godzilla fought a giant stag beetle and a space robot chicken with his robot buddy. And the movie before that, he literally fought a giant walking pile of crap. And flew. A dinosaur that flew. Like, so I don't want to hear about the high horse of, like, you know, now, you know, this is a, you know, we're in a genre, you know, this thing should be taken a little more seriously. I'm like, no, like, it, you look, you kids.
You know, what's you weren't. Crazy is okay. So -1, like you just said, -1 and won an Academy Award.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, nothing's going to take that away from it. The movie right before it, Godzilla blew a hole through the middle of Earth, and out came King Kong to fight a robot Godzilla. Like,
can I tell you a story about that real quick?
Please.
So, our good friend Chris Mowry.
Yes.
He invited me, my buddy Tommy, to the premiere. So this is 2001. So obviously the world was in a very different place. So we saw it at a drive-in.
Cool.
In Paramount, California. I don't know if you've ever been through Paramount, California, but
never.
So they held it there because of all the protocols. So sure. we rolled up in Tommy's SUV. Mowry got in the back. So And at this point, you know, he's working for Toho, so he's seen the movie like 20 times. He's seen every iteration of it. He's seen versions we will never get to see. So we're watching this movie. Tommy and I are in the front seat. He's in the back. He's like, look, I've seen this so many times. I'm just here to hang out, man. Like, I'm working.
That's so cool. That's
yeah. So cool. And it gets to that point when Godzilla's in Hong Kong and Kong had like activated whatever the hollow earth energy is. And I just hear Maori like, okay, this is either going to make or break the movie for you. And when Godzilla like leans over and starts blasting a hole in the earth, I just turn around like, get that out of here. And I look at him. He's like, yeah, they, you know, realism's out the door on this. I'm like, you know what? I don't care. I kind of love it. It's that ridiculous comic bookiness of it all.
Godzilla versus Kong to me, sidetrack. I know we're here to talk about shit, but Godzilla versus yeah. Kong to me is always, and Supernova, New Empire, both just feel mm-hmm. like a roller coaster movie to me.
Yes.
It just feels like you're on a ride and
yeah.
you are literally on a ride and you're in the heave or whatever, what are they called? The Ospreys?
Yeah. The heaves.
The heave.
Yeah.
And you're just, that is your POV and you get to see this craziness happen around you.
Look, man, I, you know, I said in podcasts before that movie came out, I said several other times, like that was the movie I was looking forward to. Once they announced Kong. So when Kong Skull Island was coming out, they're like, all right, Godzilla 2 is coming out. And then after that, we're doing Godzilla versus Kong. And I sat there, I'm like, yeah, let's see. Like, that feels like you're announcing it, but like, a lot could happen in like 3-4 years. Like, one of these movies could bomb and you could get cold feet. Like, this feels too good to be true. Because up until minus one, Godzilla and Kong, the original King Kong versus Godzilla was my second favorite Godzilla movie. It's one I watched the most as a kid. So the idea of like them getting these two back together, I'm like, all right, once I start seeing footage, then I'll believe it's real. And that first trailer, like my brother was over at my house and it popped up and he walked in the room at the second, like Kong's, like, you know, it's that scene with the, you know, and Kong's being, you know, passed out, being dragged. And he's looking at me and he starts talking to him. And that trailer ends, even with the goofy, you know, rock rap song that's on it. Like, okay. He's just like that, okay. that trailer ends and he's looking at me. He's like, are you getting emotional right now? I'm like, I'm sorry, man. Like, it just, 8-year-old me never thought I would see this movie again. So I immediately booked a room in Las Vegas because Las Vegas was open and you can go into a movie theater and watch this movie. California at the time was not.
You could have done that here too, but.
Well, at the time, I get it.
When you, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not missing this movie in the movie theaters. I'm not going to sit there and watch it on HBO Max on the first day. This is not how I'm watching this movie. And at that point, you know, that was the only way I was going to watch it. And then literally like 4 days beforehand, Maori calls me. He's like, you want to come to the premiere? I'm like, yeah. So I ended up watching it at the drive-in the first time. So. Either way, I got my wish. I got to see it both ways, but I walked out of that movie and Maori turned to me. He's like, all right, man, you know, and he's an old school dude. He loves his, you know, suits and everything. He likes a little more seriousness. He looks at me as he lights a cigarette. He's like, so what'd you think? And I looked at him like, Chris, I'm an easy mark for any of this stuff. Like, I absolutely love it. I can tell there's a little bit of like malcontent in your voice and I get it. You're an older fan. Like he's like 10 years older than me. So I get it. You're from a different generation, but for me, that just made me feel like I'm 8 years old all over again. It gave me everything I wanted. It didn't overstay its welcome. and I got to see Kong punch Godzilla in the face, and they fought in the water. That's all I really wanted. Everything else was just, you know, the icing on top. So it was, it gave me everything. That's why I'm like, you know, I don't care these, how goofy these MonsterVerse movies get. Like, I'm all in. You're giving me the fun stuff. And then Japan's turning around. They're like, now we're going to give you cinema. Like, we're in the auteur phase of Godzilla movies in Japan. It feels like Toho's very selective on who they're getting to make these. Like, Anno was like a big, when they, you remember when they announced, yeah, Anno and Higuchi?
I thought it was an April Fool's joke.
Yes. Because it was on April 1st out here. Yeah. They're like, yeah, there's no, that's not happening. Anno's got another Evangelion movie. And they're like, no,
exactly. Yeah.
This is real. It's already like halfway shot, because that's how Japan announces things. Like, we get the movie mostly in the can before we even announce that it's coming out. Like, there's none of this, like, we're going into production. So the thought of like Hideki Anno doing a Godzilla movie felt, you know, like a fever dream.
I remember the initial feeling I got is like, oh, they're gonna, this is like the new Kitamura, Ryu Kitamura. Mm-hmm. Like, Toho's gonna swing big and see what happens. That's how I...
And it paid off. It paid off in dividends. And not only that, but it launched a whole subgenre of Anno and Higuchi basically going like, okay, we made all the money. We want to play with the other toys.
Yes.
And we got Ultraman out of that.
I'm in.
And we got Shin Kamen Rider.
So in.
What are we missing?
Too deep.
I mean, we got Godzilla.
Shin 2. We're missing Shin.
We're missing Shin 2.
Technically, Shin Ultraman. You can say Shin Kamen and Shin Ultraman are technically sequels. You and I are of the age where we would get bootleg Ultraman and bootleg Ultra Q and bootleg Ultraman, whatever. And they were not subtitled. We would watch them just as they were. We'd watch, I think the first time I saw Inframan was unsubtitled.
Mm-hmm.
So watching Shin Kamen Rider wasn't like cinema. Well, it is cinema, but it's not like, you know, Karate Bug Man fights and, you know, Karate Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not really pretty easy to follow.
Yeah. I had the same thing with, well,
unlike Shin Godzilla, which you kind of need to.
Yeah. I mean, I saw Minus One unsubbed. And
you saw the premiere.
I was there opening
day one, at least. Yeah,
day one. Jessica got to see it subbed because she saw it at TIFF, Tokyo International Film Festival. Mm-hmm. So she had a complete understanding of the movie. I had the basic understanding, but I gave that to the testament of how good Yamazaki was as a filmmaker. I'm like, I got the gist of what was going on here, and I've watched so much Japanese cinema that sitting there listening to the language doesn't bump me at all, because I've watched so many subtitled Japanese films that, like, I can get the inflections and stuff. It's like how I can, I don't really know Spanish, but I've been around Spanish speaking people my entire life. Like, I understand certain words and the inflections of what's going on.
Yes, but you didn't, I think you told me the first time you saw Minus One unsubtitled, you didn't know that he was a zero fighter.
No.
Knowing that.
Yeah.
Really, just that little piece of information that.
It made a world of difference.
Huge difference, right?
Yeah, my buddy Kazuki, when we were at the Godzilla ride, we were waiting between the Ultraman and Godzilla ride. We're sitting down eating. So he's like, yeah, so what do you think about, you know, the main character being a kamikaze? I'm like, he was a kamikaze pilot? He's like, yeah. I'm like,
makes sense to you, right?
And I told him, like, oh, so many things come into focus in this movie now. And he was laughing. He's like, oh, yeah, that's right. You don't know Japanese. I'm like, yeah, I don't. I really don't speak a lick. So, yeah, I didn't pick. I thought he was just, like, some random pilot. Like, I understand, like, you know, something happened and, like, the context of him not shooting the Godzillasaurus was weighing on him. He's like, oh, no. Like, he bailed on his mission. I'm like, oh, So much more opens up in this movie now. Makes okay.
complete sense now.
Yeah.
Full circle.
Yeah. And I couldn't imagine sitting there. Jessica did see Shin Godzilla in Japan opening night. Right. And I asked her, I'm like, no. I'm like, did you understand? She's like, no, this was the hardest movie I've ever sat through because there's so much talking. And she's like, I just was basically paying attention every time Godzilla's on screen. I don't know what they were plotting to do. I don't know what was going on with the cranes. I don't know what was like, what their plan was. I don't know why he froze at the end. I'm like, okay, yeah, I can see that because it's dialogue a mile a minute and there's so much being dumped on you, even when you're watching it sub, which I will give some credence to the people complaining that there was no dub because again, yeah, it's a lot going on and could have made more money if there was a dub. Possibly. Maybe. But I don't think that was going to change a lot of newer opinions on this movie. There will be a dub that's coming out. I will watch it because I'm curious, but most modern dubs kind of suck. The last thing I ever saw that was dubbed properly was Redline. And Redline, much like Shin Godzilla, there's a lot going on in that movie. If you've never seen Redline, it's a masterpiece of animation. It's Wacky Racers and Speed Racer all rolled into one, but it's beautifully animated. I saw it subbed the first time, but there are so many things I missed out because I'm just reading the text at the bottom and I'm missing little nuances in the back. So when I saw the dub was handled beautifully. Actually, the characters sounded better and now I could focus on the visuals that are on screen. So the thing is, Shin Godzilla, it's visually impressive when Godzilla's on screen. Everything else is, it's five rooms. That's kind of the five rooms in like three locations. Like that's what's going on.
Would you agree though that I think we as a us you and I leaving out of it because we'll watch anything subbed or unsubbed. But would you agree that we are of people who, as a society, whatever you want to call it, where we don't need the dub, and I think like having a dub is more of a meme now. I think more people prefer the sub over the dub.
I would say yes, and that's mainly due to anime blowing up like it has. I mean, I can tell you, I mean, for years, I would go to art houses to watch foreign films. And the last time there was like a mainstream art house film that was wide release that didn't have a dub that was subbed was Brotherhood of the Wolf. And I saw Brotherhood of the Wolf in there. Yeah. Awesome movie, by the way. If you've never seen Brotherhood of the Wolf, masterpiece.
What are we doing?
So I sat down, this movie, there was this couple that came in during the preview, sat down like two rows in front of me, had two buckets of popcorn, hot dog, like two drinks, everything. They were like carrying it like a child.
Hot dog in the theater, that's a choice.
Yeah. Sat down 5 minutes in to the film. Like it's the opening narration of the French Revolution. And the dude just goes, I got to read this? No. We're not doing this. And he and his lady just got up and walked on out.
But that was, Brother of the Wolf was what, like 1999, 2000?
2001.
24 years ago. I think we kind of, because, I mean, when I think of a dub now, I think of like everyone talking to Naruto. And I'm like, that just puts me off.
Yeah. I had the same thing. Famously, I went and watched Death Note, Kaneko's Death Note.
Yeah, I'm not.
I like those Death Note movies. I like his Death. Yes, subbed. Subbed. I got him subbed. I imported them. Well, I got bootlegs.
We got it.
Yeah, back in the day, 2008. But Viz, because of the popularity of the anime, released them theatrically over here. So I went with my buddy and his group of friends. We're all anime nerds. And he and I had already watched the movie because I loaned it to him. I'm like, dude, you got to watch this. It's arguably better than the manga and the anime. I felt it fixed a lot of problems. And as we sat down, I turned to him. I'm like, wait a minute, man. Did they dub this? And he's looking at me. He's like, you know what? I don't know. And the movie starts. And about 2 or 3 minutes in, I hear the anime voice of light come over the dude from Battle Royale's mouth. And I looked at him like, oh, no, I can't do this. Because I can't handle when they do anime voices on human characters. It just doesn't sound right. Yeah. So we got up and we went to the next theater and watched Speed Racer.
You made the right choice.
Yes.
I think that's a life-changing. Watching Speed Racer for the first time is like watching Blade Runner for the first time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. No, that was my fifth viewing of Speed Racer, by the way.
Oh, well, that's like watching the Blade Runner for the fifth time.
Yeah. No, I saw Speed Racer 12 times in theaters. Jesus. I could not get enough of it. And I knew, like, I saw the writing on the wall. I'm like, this is a movie that's way ahead of its time. People are going to appreciate it. So, look, I'm getting in every showing I can because I love this film to death.
I'm going
to
say you're ahead of your time. I think that you were on the nose on that.
History has been kind to this dude on this. I screamed its beauty and wonder to the world that no one listened because everyone was turned off by that trailer. And I'm like, no, this is a live-action Pixar film. This is a magnificent. It's so positive. And the visuals are insane. And everyone just went, it looks stupid. And now we're 15 years out and people are like, hey, that Speed Racer movie, man, that was really good. It's arguably the Wachowskis' like second best movie outside of Matrix. I'm like, yes.
Third best.
What would be the second?
The Matrix Reloaded, I think, is number one.
I need to go back and rewatch those latter two Matrix movies again because I never watched them back to back.
Not so bad.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're getting
we're getting too far. Let's wrap up because we're talking about people watching this. This movie did exceptionally well this weekend. It made 2.8.
Let's just call it 2.5
million. 2.5
million
on
more than what it made in its initial release in America, at least.
Over a week and a half, in 5 days, it made more, which is bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. But I think it also says a lot of things about how movies are now. The fact that a nearly 10-year-old movie can come back, and it speaks to the popularity of Godzilla now. It speaks to where the movie industry is now because, you know, while this summer did a bit better than last summer, people are still like, there's a lot of Hollywood stuff we're just not feeling. So let's go watch something else. And a lot of people showed up, you know.
You people have more choices for entertainment now.
And mm-hmm.
2.5 people. Well, you got to be people came out and watched a movie, a 9-year-old movie. That is, that's saying something. I mean, that's sending a message to Toho.
Very, very much so.
Your people are voting with their wallet.
And I think that's boding well for a lot of things because, again, you and I grew up during a generation where it's like, Japan gets all this awesome stuff and we get crumbs.
You know, you brought up Maori a little while ago, and I think it's because of the work he's done and this rise, you know, because he was around during the beginning of this rise of it. I think because of work like that, because say Maori wasn't around, we would get the legendary stuff, just the Playmates line, and that's
it. Yeah.
But now you got this coming in, you got Minus One coming in, you got Shin was already a thing, and you're getting these wonderful things that you and I are enjoying that we wouldn't have guessed 20 years ago.
The fact that I can walk into like FYE and there's Bandai vinyls.
Never
there's vinyls. Happened.
No way.
You would have blows gotten, my mind.
No, you would have gotten Playmates. You could have gotten MonsterVerse Playmates, and that's it.
And even then, like, you probably would have gotten one wave, and that would have been it. But
maybe a recolor. Two, and then that's it.
So, I mean, I hammer this nearly every episode, but it's because, you know, we take such gaps in between recording. But I'm reiterating this for a lot of these kids, and I say these kids because I'm 41 years old. appreciate what you got. Ari and I lived through the dry times. We lived through the lost decade. Not only that, but there was a decade before that, before you and I were even around.
Yes.
Where there was nothing.
Yes.
So it can easily go away tomorrow.
So from one unk to another mm-hmm. unk to from two. Listen to your two unks and mm-hmm. just appreciate what you have.
Very much and so.
If something comes out, go support it.
Yeah.
It's just old school. Old school. This is, you know, it is what it is. Support mm-hmm. it.
Hey, look.
If you don't like it, don't support it.
We're at a time like, look, the comics. Look at the comics.
You know, the comics is the one thing I have not been on. I know there's the Power Ranger stuff and the DC stuff and the what's it called? Not the Reiwa. What's the Kaiser?
Keisei.
Keisei, and I know that's going on. But
yeah. Like, I know. Look, if you're not, I kind of fell out of comics, but like, you're doing a Godzilla comic because I was a comic nerd as a little kid. And the only comics I had were some real battered copies of the Marvel run, because back then they were like 10 cents a back issue because no one really wanted them. And the Dark Horse stuff. And that was it. Yes. And the Dark Horse stuff only ran for like 15 issues because it didn't really sell that well. And, you know, God bless Dark Horse, they tried. But now...
Dark Horse.
Now you walk into a comic shop and IDW has not one, not two, but like three books going on at any given point. And this, I mean, we had Godzilla meet the Power Rangers. We had the Monsterverse fight the Justice League. There's a sequel series out now. Godzilla's beating up the Marvel Universe, which, by the way, true. You need to read Godzilla versus Thor.
Yeah.
Yes. That is the one book. That's the one. That is the one. Don't you? I know you.
Yeah.
You're gonna look at the other ones. And you're like, they're fine. But Godzilla vs. Thor. Holy crap! And that first issue of Godzilla Destroys the Marvel Universe, pretty good.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. Yes.
It's not like Squirrel coming them after Godzilla and be like, hey, that's not.
Yeah. No. No. It's no. It is invoking the feeling of like those last four issues of the Marvel book, the original Marvel book.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, except just set in modern Marvel times. So, and the Keisei stuff, like I read that. Shit, I actually have it. Yeah, right here. This first issue, the vibe I'm getting off this thing.
Okay, I see. All right.
So the vibe I'm getting off this thing, it is reminiscent, not of Dark Horse's Godzilla run, but like Dark Horse's early comics. Like, it has a very, 80s underground comic feel. Like, the art style, the story that they're kind of telling. Like, they're, like, Toho, again, Toho's letting these guys, like, really kind of craft a world that it's not like any other Godzilla, like, story ever told. There's shades of Final Wars in this thing. And I say that, you know, lightly. But there's some wild concepts being rolled into that and the Dead Zone book they put out, which reminds me of like some 2000 AD stuff. So like that Judge Dredd era, like you know, the ABC robots. Like I'm like this is wild. I never thought in my life I'd ever see anything like this. Like the closest anyone ever got was that black and white Dark Horse book, which
the 84.
The 87 one.
Okay.
That one, I mean, that's the closest we ever got to a true, like, Godzilla horror story. Mm-hmm. Just the way that was drawn and written. So, this though, wild stuff. So, yes, people appreciate what you got. All right. Arian, let's take this home. So, on that note, if you like what you see, if you like what you're listening to, remember, you can find us on all of the big, let me retake that.
You got that?
Yeah, it's 1 a.m. here.
Oh my God. You got it.
Mind fart. All right, so wrapping this up. If you like what you hear, if you like what you see, you can find us on all of your favorite podcast streamers, including Apple, Spotify. And if you don't like to stream, you can download all of our episodes, including our new ones, and all the back catalog. It is all up at thekaijukingdompodcast.com. Head over to our socials on X, on Instagram, Facebook.com. If you want to say hi, that's where we're at. That's where I post all the news. Arian, we also have a show on our little network. What do we do?
We talk about everything under the sun called Common Kaisers. When I say everything, I mean every kind of movie that we think is cool.
Yes. And what are we doing next? Because I think it folds into what we're talking about here.
What are we doing next? I feel like we tease things like, and then we never go through with it because like whatever happens.
Well,
I think we're supposed to do Tremors.
No, we're supposed to do another Shinji Higuchi movie.
Oh my God, that's right. We're supposed to do a bullet train explosion.
Yes, and then I had to drive back out to California, and then we had Comic-Con.
Comic-Con, whatever. Show. I'm surprised we didn't do it while you were over here, but
yeah.
I'm excited to talk about it because I love that movie.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, spoilers.
It's a Shin bullet train.
It very much is. So that is going to be our next episode. That should be out pretty soon now that everything's a little more, the ship's been righted out where I'm at. So stay tuned for that. It is, if you subscribe to us on any of the podcast streamers, it's on the same stream. So you'll see it pop up under that. So stay tuned for that and go listen to the back episodes if this is your first time hearing Arian's sultry voice, because there's a lot of fun stuff we talked about. We're about like 25 episodes deep on that thing already.
You know what? The other day I was thinking about how much fun it was watching Sam and the Curse for the first time, and how much fun we had recording it. Also, Rats is a great one. Like, I was giddy the entire time. Like, and then this happens, and then this happens. It's like a child.
Basically, Ari and I have decided, like, unless there's like a, you know, we rarely do new movies. Like, we did Shin Kamen Rider. He insisted the first episode be Kamen Rider Black Sun.
And insisted.
And we did the whole show in one go. And like, maybe we do a series and we should break this up.
We work on it, you know.
Yeah, it was the first time. But
we're excited to talk about whatever it is that we talked about.
But I think at this point, the format of the show is Arian picks a movie I haven't watched, and then I pick a movie Arian hasn't watched.
More or less.
Yeah.
Or like something like, dude, have you seen this? No. Oh my God. And yeah, exactly. Like, or we'll be like, hey, we're going to go watch Driver 2 in the theater somewhere. Cool.
So yeah.
We'll talk about it afterward.
Exactly. So do check that out. And on that note, that will do it for this edition of the Kaiju Kingdom podcast. For myself and
Arian. Have a good night, guys. Love you.
Thank you.